Welcome to episode 34 of Climate Champions. I'm Lee Krivat, and each week I publish a new episode with a new climate champion as my guest. This week's guest is Scott Carlson, president of New Day Solar. We talk about what motivates and excites him at New Day Solar, how he ended up there, and what his vision for the future is. If you or someone you know is a climate champion, please let me know at www.krivatenergyinnovations.com. In October of 1997, Scott started the company Carlson Solar. Scott installed some of the first solar electric systems in San Diego, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. In January of 2008, Scott merged his company, making it one of the largest residential solar installation companies in California, and became the executive vice president and main contractor for Real Goods Solar. After a few years, Scott decided to retire from Real Goods, but it didn't take Scott and his wife, Mary, long to realize that the solar industry was not just a business, but a way of life. And with a passion surpassed by none, they decided to open New Day Solar. Welcome to Climate Champions. I'm Lee Krivat, here with Scott Carlson, the president of New Day Solar. Welcome to Climate Champions. Can you talk about your motivating moment? What got you started thinking that you should do something in some way about climate change?
I think it's just my age. I was, you know, one of those kids that grew up in the 70s, listening to John Denver, wearing your waffle stomper shoes and thinking about the environment. And I think it grew off from that. I think I knew I always wanted to do something that was good for the environment. I've done some personal things in my own life based on that. I know it might sound strange, but to me it's almost a religion. I limited us to two children because I always thought that was the right thing to do because of population growth. I took classes in college specifically aimed at a solar or environmental studies. My degree is actually in geography, which is totally worthless. Yeah, my mindset has always been there. That's what I've always been very passionate about. I think I grew up just believing that way, just thinking that way. I think it's probably in high school where I started to really feel strongly in those type of areas.
Why is helping to mitigate climate change personal to you?
I think that overall it pays off benefits for society at large. I don't think people realize how much of a negative impact the way we have been running this planet has been affecting just everyday people. I mean, look at the cancer rates and whatnot. And a lot of the scientists say that is attributed to the way that we produce electricity. There's been so many cases of us as a society deciding to dump pollution out on the ground and then later on paying a bunch of money to come back and clean it up. I've always felt, well, why dump it at the beginning? Let's make sure that things are done in such a fashion so it's not overly costly to make changes. And I just don't understand why people aren't aware of this or more passionate about it. Maybe they are now that they're starting to see the results of climate change. Wasn't it Al Gore just recently, didn't he say that all of his predictions that he did 10 years ago have now all come true?
I think if you look at things that have come out of Scripps Institute and Al Gore and other scientists, I don't know if I should say other scientists with Al Gore, but those things are coming true, even more aggressive than the predictions.
Yeah, and so to me, my passion is to doing what's best for us, even for us as a nation. I mean, imagine if we didn't have to worry about bringing in resources from foreign areas, such as oil from the Middle East and whatnot, because we're all driving electric vehicles. That's maybe going to cut back or curtail the need for war by providing our own power here within our own nation, and being that it's clean power. That's going to reduce the number of people dying here in the United States from cancer. It's going to make cleaner skies, make it more enjoyable to be outside. And we have the technology. It's here. It's now. It's something that I was hoping for when I was younger. And I was really passionate about installing as many solar electrical systems as I could because I thought the prices would come down. People would start to understand. Every person I put in a solar system, I felt that their relatives and their neighbors would catch on to this new idea because it is cheaper and yet it's better. Just trying to get the word out there, kind of like an apostle, getting out the word to the rest of the world. Hey, we have these solutions. It does work.
Yeah, since you already started going down that path, can you talk a bit about New Day Solar and what you do and how you got where you are?
Okay, 31 years ago, I started installing solar electrical systems.
31 years ago, it must have cost a lot.
Yeah, we were north of about $15 a watt. We were buying used solar modules from the Carrizo solar plant, a little bit north of San Diego here up towards, I think it's just north of LA someplace, was a big valley where the utility company put up a whole bunch of solar modules and said, yeah, this works, but this is working too good. Let's tear down the plant and let's sell off all these solar modules. Now, I don't know if that's actually the case, but...
You like to say that, though.
I like to say that, though, because why didn't they not leave it in place and continue to use the power being generated from it? And so I always hoped for the time that this technology would continue to get better and better. And now I'm just flabbergasted because what I thought was going to happen actually did happen. I mean, people shouldn't be so upset or so downtrodden because we now do have the solutions. The solutions do work and the cost is less than what they're paying the utility companies. So to me, it's just trying to get more of the word out of there. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to talk to you, Lee, and get this recorded. People need to know we've already have the solutions. We succeeded. We should be celebrating.
I think one of the reasons we're not celebrating is because this is an urgent situation. And as fast as it's going, it might not be going fast enough.
Yeah, but that's all due to our, I think a good portion of it is due to our politics. Even when we go to pull permits, permits are time consuming, cost money, slow the process down. I understand why they need permits, but I just wish they would trust certified electrical contractors that have been doing it for a while to just get out of our way and let us do our job, because we find that we're spending a lot of our time educating the plan checkers and the inspectors out there because this isn't what they do for a living. But I understand why it's there. But then also, too, we do see things being done by politicians, by the utility companies, by our local government that try to slow down the adaption to going solar. I've had several conversations where people have told me off the record, Scott, I was told to put this in place to slow down the number of solar installations. And so I realize it's there. When we have people like Dick Cheney, when they were running for re-election, stating on TV to the public at large, when someone asked about solar, he said, oh, that doesn't work. I mean, just the number of people out there lying kind of upsets me, but I have to realize that's just, you know, another little hurdle in our way. And now we're becoming kind of more like a tsunami that's rolling in and it's just bowling over everything and they just can't hold it back anymore. It's still going to slow it down a little bit, but we've gotten large enough now that as a group of people who have solar electrical systems, we've gotten large enough now that we're starting to have some political power.
I will say that New Day Solar was the company that put up my solar, and I haven't had any issues with it, so thank you very much. And I've paid back the cost by the amount of money that I've saved on my energy bill, and I saved that money earlier than I thought I would because the rates keep going up. So that's all very exciting. Can you talk about when you first saw that the price was going to be there?
I'd probably say about 2 years ago, two or three years ago.
Just recently.
Yeah, because that's when I saw the huge drops. I mean, I'd always had seen the price of solar modules, because that was normally the most costly part of the equation, coming down in price. But, you know, it was just a couple percentage per year. And then all of a sudden, I was just flabbergasted when it came under $2 a watt. That, to me, just kind of blew my mind. I go, okay, this is, wow, this mass production stuff really does work. Once you get, you know, enough of the product being produced, they can really drop the price. And then it just dropped like a rock. I'm seeing product out there now. The product we're carrying is a little bit better quality, so I pay a little bit of a premium for it. I don't want to buy the stuff that might be construed as being from smaller manufacturers that aren't financially secure, using technology that may not be good for the long term.
You want them to be bankable.
Yeah, precisely. And so we vet the companies before we carry their product. And we try to limit the number of product we carry because it makes it easier to run a small business if you're only carrying, say, like three different brands of solar modules and that's it. And within those brands, just a certain solar module so that doing your permitting, your one-line wiring diagrams, measuring the rooftop, everything is kind of simplified. We only carry one rail in the shop to put the modules on, so we can use that one rail for all the product. It just helps limit the amount of inventory or stock that we have to keep in place. But we saw the prices keep coming down, and now I am seeing some product out there being sold at 30 cents a watt. Just phenomenal.
It is.
I mean, we're talking prices down at such a low price. Now, I'm paying about double that to get the better quality product. But when you're getting down to these numbers, it's no big deal to throw in another 10 solar modules. If you're already installing the system, why not throw in 10 more so that the people or the customer can say, hey, I don't have to worry about leaving my lights on all the time or turning off my computer. Maybe like at my own house, I run my air conditioner at 66 degrees at night during the summertime.
And that's, that's too cold for
no,
66.
But I like the big comforter to be put up and over me. I like to sleep in a cold room with a nice comforter.
Don't tell my wife because she's going to ask for more solar.
Well, and that's just the thing, though. Now we're telling people, you know, you don't need a system just to offset 100% of your usage. Make it 30, 40, 50% over that. Because now I leave my air conditioning on at my house all the time. If I have a gathering of people over, we don't worry about closing doors. I think it's actually going to have an impact as to how we even design houses in the future. We don't have to worry about making the houses highly insulated anymore. Maybe we can cut back on the insulation a little bit or stay where we're at. But is it not cheaper just to add some more extra modules than to put in the extra cost of the more highly, you know, triple-paned windows or the extra more costly insulation? I mean, electricity is getting cheap, at least if you have the knowledge and realize, hey, I need to have solar, then you're way ahead of the game. And so many people don't realize this. And I think those people are slowly going to be learning that they need to do this just to stay competitive and to have a better life.
I still am amazed when I meet people that have significant electricity bills, do have a roof that could take solar, and yet have not installed it. It just blows my mind.
I know, you know, and I can't quite understand. I think what it is a combination of things. And one of them is we had a large boom in the industry where we had a lot more installers come in and start doing this kind of work. 80% of them are fantastic. They do a wonderful job. They really care about their customers and they really care about the longevity of their product. But there's always that other, say, 20% that don't care. I see times when we go out to do a service call and I say, well, why aren't you using the company that installed your solar system? Your system's only 6 months or a year old. Why don't you call them out? They should be standing behind this and taking care of the problems they're having. And they say, well, either A, they've moved on or they can't find them or they can't get them to come out and do the service. And yet then what's really frustrating is that I find out that they paid maybe 50% more than what we would have charged for the same thing. So there's a lot of people taking advantage of other people at extremely high pricing. If you're doing just a typical solar electrical installation, we would expect you, at least at this time in the year of 2019, to be paying about $3 a watt for a non-battery-based system. And yet we see people out there all the time selling at $5 a watt, maybe even higher, using poorer quality product. But once again, buyer beware. And you really need to check on the reputation of these companies.
So you are super passionate about solar. When you meet people that are not passionate about it and instead talk up gas and oil and think there's no reason to change, how do you explain to them that there is a reason to change?
Well, I used to give my pitch about the environment, but now it seems like...
Which you believe in. I mean, you believe in the environmental reasons.
Yes, most definitely. But I think our whole society has become a little bit more divided now due to some lies being said out there by politicians and others that no one is really calling them on. And so now I try to talk more about the financial gains. I mean, when I can go to a person that says, well, yeah, I just still buy from the electric company, I go, geez, you know, my electric bill for my personal house would probably be about $500 a month in electrical usage. And so when I say, well, you know, you might be spending $400 or $500 a month on your electric bill, each month I try to think of how I'm going to spend that extra $400 or $500. I mean, that's just extra cash in my pocket. Not only that, I didn't have to pay taxes on that. You had to pay, you know, a $400 or $500 a month electric bill, but you had to earn $700 or $800 to pay the taxes on that money so you can turn around and give it to the electric company. I just have this extra thing. I mean, I've been on solar electrical systems now for about 28 years, somewhere in that range. Think of how much money I've saved over the years. I tried to get them to understand the financial realities and how long-term it is fantastic for them, regardless of what they think about global climate change. That doesn't matter. The thing is that a lot of people will listen when you're talking dollars and cents.
You've been doing solar for a long time. Can you talk about some of the challenges you've seen?
Sure. The government getting in the way. I hate to say it. The government and the utility companies, the little roadblocks they put in place. They're well-meaning, but a lot of times they don't have the knowledge base to be making these kind of decisions. More needs to be heard from the general solar electrical installer. They need to have a larger voice out there if at all possible. Your big solar companies, I'm talking, you know, your SolarCity or now Tesla, and some of your other larger installers out there, which I can understand, that they're normally publicly traded, so they're looking mainly at the monies to be made immediately. Some of your smaller solar installers, like myself included, we're not so much about the monies. Yes, we need to be profitable. Yes, we need to stay in business. But we'd like to do what's best for the customers long term. We're normally looking a little bit more long term. Right now, for example, with New Day Solar, we get most of our leads from referrals. We don't spend a lot of money on marketing to bring in leads, which most of these other companies have to do. So we like it to be more homegrown, grassroots type of referrals, because that's the best type to have. But we get that because we try to take good care of the customer long term, if that makes sense. So things that really prevent us from moving forward even quicker in these areas are normally the permitting agencies. Right now, we're starting to see a big upswing in the installation of batteries. Batteries are still expensive, but it's making more and more sense for people as the prices have been slowly coming downward. Well, a lot of the jurisdictions don't know how to handle that. They haven't bothered to take the time to read that part of the code. And the part of the code that deals with batteries is somewhat limited, and it's not up to date. There's newer technologies coming out there presently that the code will just say batteries. They won't really address the different types of batteries. We're installing lithium iron phosphate. These do not cause fire on their own. They're much safer than lithium ion. They last longer than lithium ion. But yet we're going to be treated the same as an old lead acid flooded battery that puts out hydrogen gas. We don't do that with the newer technologies. But yet the permitting agencies may require special containment devices with special fans for ventilation of something that doesn't exist anymore in most of our installations. And they'll put a lot more requirements in there, and they're kind of confused as to what they're doing. So not only will they have these requirements that may not be really applicable, But a lot of them don't know what they're dealing with, so they're just flat saying, sorry, we don't want to see you install batteries.
So the technology is outpacing government's ability to deal with it.
Totally. That is totally the big problem. And then the other part is that it's changing so quickly that those who are in charge of permitting or doing the inspections typically aren't educated up to a level where they are truly qualified to do that inspection.
Well, if they were educated more, they would get a job with you and make more money.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm guessing.
No, that's true. And people say that, well, we need to have more schools teaching solar electrical installations and whatnot. The problem we're finding out, we like to hire nice people and train them within the company and train them up within the company. Because there is a lack to a certain degree of schooling out there for the more qualified individuals. It's hard to find someone out there that has a journeyman certification or has had that kind of education to do our specialty. As life goes on, all of the job types are getting more and more specialized. And so I've had before where I've had guys or people come to me applying for a job. They say they're a journeyman electrician, but I say, how much solar have you done? And normally their response is very little or none. And then I find out that they're adequately or woefully unqualified to even begin into this field because it is such a specialty. We'll ask them questions like, how do you get in and program the inverters? And they have no clue on that, obviously. And it takes some training to get them up there to that level of expertise that we need. So we do almost all of our own training in-house.
So is the lack of qualified people slowing you down, or you have that handled?
No, it is slowing us down slightly, but I don't know of any really good educational facilities out there that are teaching that upper level. And maybe that's just going to take time for people to, A, have the work experience behind it, because a lot of this is just going to have to be hands-on education where you deal with these more specific areas.
Are you concerned about new homes being built with solar? Because you install solar on existing homes, and you talked about a future where homes are just designed with solar. And I know around the corner there's a community that went in with solar kind of built into the roof, and then you have Tesla with shingles that are going to make solar. Is that something you're concerned about?
Well, we've seen this in the past. I remember probably at least 15 years ago, one of the larger home builders was starting to offer it as an option for their houses. I had some meetings with them, and after one of the meetings, I went down to their model homes at that location and went in there and just kind of stood around and listened to one of the sales reps describing the solar electrical system to another potential buyer. And at this time they are putting up, I think it was 6 solar modules. And yet the sales rep was saying, oh, this is going to take care of all your electrical needs in your house. So I went back and said, yeah, this isn't something I care to do, because I think it was being misrepresented to the homeowner and they were just going to have a bad experience. Now with the new law that recently passed here in California, where the builders are being forced to do it, our experience now is that those home builders, at least initially, are selling the solar at about double the price that we would normally charge for the same identical thing.
Wow.
So they're looking at it as a way to make extra profits, at least initially, because it's mandated, and it may take a period of time for those prices to come down. And then you're forced to do it. One of my employees recently purchased a house. He loved the house, but he had to get it with the solar on it from this particular builder, even though it's not mandated yet. And his price was double what he could get it from us. So he was kind of upset that he couldn't delete that feature and that he had to pay the higher price for an inferior product. And that was kind of frustrating. And for us, we also see that being frustrating for all the new houses going to be built. They're going to be forced to put on there. And they may not be better designed individually, but overall, I guess it will be a good thing.
What about successes you've had? You've been doing this a long time. What are your biggest successes?
Biggest successes, I think, is slowly, boy, but it just seems so slowly, in changing the public's view of solar electrical systems. We at first had the early adopters. They were very passionate and understanding of this. Now we've gotten more into the general population, so they're more concerned just with the dollar and cents of it. Yeah, they like the added bonus that it's doing something good for society and good for this country. And a lot of those people, they're just not as passionate about it, and they really don't care. And that's understandable. I find it's actually wonderful to sell and install a solar electrical system on a person's house who may be very anti-solar, and they're just doing it because it's cheaper than to continue to buy their
power. That sounds like you've almost won when that starts to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it is nice when those who may actually be what we consider critics of solar are buying it because it just makes so much economic sense.
You know, I was talking to Bernadette Del Chiaro recently. She's the executive director at California Solar and Storage Association. And she said her vision is to have a solar panel or solar panels on every roof, an electric vehicle in every driveway. And what she loves about those technologies is that neighbors can see it. So neighbors see it, and then they put it up, and it just becomes what you do.
Yeah, and at the beginning, we used to see a lot of people say, "Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like the looks of the solar. Can we put it on the back of the roof?" As our viewpoints change, I had once heard a story, don't know if it's true, but I just heard it, was that they were selling fake solar modules in Japan because in Japan, it's a status symbol. So some people supposedly in Japan were putting up solar modules on their rooftop that didn't even work.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but that I think as we change our attitudes towards things, that's going to help out. And already we're designing solar modules now. Like, for example, a lot of us are using black framed modules. Looks a lot nicer on most rooftops. We try to use black rails. Once again, it looks a little bit nicer. We're now using black skirts around the bottom edge of the solar modules. Once again, we're doing things to make it aesthetically look nicer. One of the bigger things we can do is try to design the arrays so that they're perfect rectangles. That looks a lot nicer than just a hodgepodge of modules all over a roof area. Part of the problem, though, is that we have to avoid roof vents that may be pre-existing. As time goes on, hopefully contractors who are building houses will realize this and start putting some of those roof vents up near the peak of the roof, but not just spread out all over the roof, because then that will allow or facilitate us to put in something that looks nicer on the eyes long term.
Can you talk about your vision for the future? Where do you see climate change, solar storage in 30, 40 years?
Man, now you got me talking because maybe I'm optimistic, but from the changes I've seen over the last 31 years of installing solar, so much has happened on the materials, the product line, the technology, even though we haven't seen that so much yet on the government, the bureaucracy, the permitting, that now we're seeing things coming down that it's going to help us sidestep some of those other issues because it's just going to be taking it out of their hands. And there's going to be such a big push, I think, coming here in the near future that things are going to start to change radically. And it's going to snowball. Already, the utility companies have raised their rates too high. But my vision for the future, solar modules now are so cheap that we're going to see people putting in huge amounts of solar. We've gone from a case where we've always tried to install 100% offset of your electric bill. Now we're starting to see 30 and 40% beyond that is what we try to encourage the homeowners to do. And most of them are doing that because they know down in the future they're going to be getting that electric vehicle. They also realize now they can start changing their standard of life. If you think about it, because of the LED light bulb and all these other technologies that have made a lot of the equipment more energy efficient, we're getting to a point where, just putting in more solar modules or solar panels is really helping people to change their lives. My own house, I got security lighting that stays on 24 hours. I feel a little bit more comfortable when I sleep at night. Plus, why would I want to turn it off? For me, electricity, for the most part, is free. Yeah, if you average out the cost over the long term, maybe I'm paying 2-3 cents per kilowatt hour. But that's cheap. That's like the average house paying a $20 a month electric bill.
If you put the cost of solar into a mortgage, so you're paying for it over 30 years, then it really is an incredible savings over paying your utility bill every month.
Yeah, if you look at 30 years, we're probably about 40% of the cost that you would pay from the utility company.
And theirs keeps going up, but once you get a mortgage, you lock it down.
That's correct. And also, our equipment doesn't just stop working. I mean, the warranty on most of the equipment these days is 25, in some cases 30 years. This equipment just magically doesn't stop working after 25 years of its warranty. It's kind of like a car. Yeah, your warranty might be dead after 3 years, but the car is still worth something, and typically it's still working. We're finding the same thing, too, with solar electrical systems. Of course, I only have 31 years to back it on, and we'll see as time progresses. But once you already have your solar electrical system, hopefully it's something that the homeowner will have for the remaining life of that house. And when you start looking at the long-term cost and financial benefits, it's huge. It's fantastic. Even right now, the most common product we see out there for financing, if they're not going to put it in a 30-year mortgage, is a 12-year loan. Zero down, 12 years, yeah, it's running about 6%. Someone has to pay that money for the bank to make their money. But at 6%, 12 years, typically we're always much less than what the utility company is presently charging them.
That seems like a total no-brainer to me. As I said, when I meet people that haven't done it and can do it, it just blows me away.
Yeah, well, they're just not educated.
Well, that's your job, to get them educated.
That's why you do this podcast. Try to get the word out there. This makes sense. With my own company, we actually put our prices right on the internet. It's right on our webpage. We're not shy about it. We know that we're so much cheaper than the electric company. We know we're not polluting the environment like the electric company is. We know that we're preventing wars compared to the electric companies having to get their sources of energy from other avenues. What's frustrating to me is to see old technology that is outdated, doesn't work anymore, or isn't cost effective, still being pushed by society at large. I know people say, hey, nuclear someday will get its pricing down. I don't think that's going to happen now. Solar electrical now is cheaper than hydro, is cheaper than coal, is cheaper than wind, is cheaper than nuclear, is cheaper than any other way I know of making electricity, yet there's almost no maintenance. We have good longevity on the product presently out there, which I think will continue to get better. We're quiet, and it's just the best way to do it. So it's still frustrating when I see people putting up ads that, hey, maybe we need to give more tax incentives to the oil companies, or maybe we need to give more incentives to nuclear. Hey, how about giving more incentives to solar, which we really don't actually, to be honest, don't need it. We're cost effective now. We kick all the other sources of power to the side of the street. We're dominant. We're going to continue to grow. There's nothing that I can see that can possibly slow us down. And what's really kind of sad is that other countries are doing this faster than the United States, because the United States has a political system that seems to stifle innovation and doesn't seem to change with the marketplace.
Do you have any questions for me?
How was your experience at the utility company? Did you see things there that they realized that this radical change was coming? Or did they just plan not see it coming down the road? What's your take on that?
I was actually part of a team that presented solar energy to our leadership team pretty early on. You were already in business, but solar hadn't really caught on yet. And when we presented it, We said this is something that could really go because prices are starting to fall. You never know. It would be another thing the utility could offer to our customers. And back then, we think we would have been allowed to do it. The problem was upper management felt that because we had deep pockets, we would break tiles, there would be issues, and we would be sued, whereas a small provider wouldn't be sued. So it was that fear that really kept the utility from doing it, which you should be happy about, because I do think if they got behind it, they could have made something of it. There were some good people. They saw it as an opportunity. They just couldn't convince, and I will say that I could not convince our management team about that.
See, now they're paying the price for that, though, because now I'm hearing about stranded assets. They have built some peaker plants. They've built other power plants that they expected to have a certain lifespan. And now they're discovering they're not going to have that lifespan. Battery technology seems to be rolling in pretty quick and pretty strong. And already, a lot of the peaker plants can't compete against even the more expensive battery storage systems being installed.
Yeah, I think peaker plants are in trouble. I can't imagine building another natural gas only peaker plant without some kind of storage. And I would even say solar plus storage would be the way to go. I think that time has come.
Well, I agree with you, but also too, they missed out on a lot of opportunities. There are customers out there of mine who have batteries, have extra storage. They would love to be asked by the utility company, hey, can we sell power back to the grid when you guys need it? I've got this extra storage already here. I, the customer, have paid for it. All that you need to do is use it. I've heard some numbers for electricity produced off of peaker plants being extremely high. I've heard things as maybe as high as 20 or 40 cents per kilowatt hour for some of the really badly needed electricity at certain times. And yet you got a whole bunch of storage out there, megawatts worth of storage out there in batteries that the homeowners have already said and have made it known, hey, you can just take it from us at not 20 or 40 cents. We'll sell it to you at 5 cents. And the utility company goes,
don't go that low. Don't go that low. I think they'll pay you more.
I do. But the customers are willing to do that. They want to do it because it's the right thing to do. Plus, they're going to make a little money on the deal. And the utility company goes, no, we'd rather pay a much higher price for something that's not as reliable and isn't there going forward.
Well, I think one of the reasons for time of use rates going in pretty hard right now, it's to incent that exact behavior. I think utilities are waiting for customers and people like you to educate customers. Hey, charge your battery when it's very low cost or from the sun, but then when it's a high cost, that's when you should discharge it and it'll reduce your energy bill because again, you get to use net metering to save money and you're basically getting that retail rate from the storage.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people out there who have a lot more energy that they could be providing, but they don't because the utility company doesn't compensate you at the end of the year under some of the billing or utility rate structures.
I agree. There are some rate structures that make that not work, but I do think there are more aggregators coming into the market trying to create a market just like you're saying. I think it's going to be there, is what I'm saying.
Well, but... For me to push back a little bit on I think part of the problem is, though, and I've mentioned this, I've been very vocal about this in the past, the utility companies are starting to put themselves out of business. Of course, they're only worried about their stockholders in the next year or 3 years or 5 years. What they don't realize, though, now I am having customers come to me and saying, Scott, I've got batteries. I can do the arbitrage where I don't pay for the higher electricity in the evening hours. But I'm realizing now I got enough batteries. Why don't I just disconnect from the utility company?
Yeah, I think it's a big problem for the utility companies. I think that people will island if they are not able to make money off their assets because there's going to be no reason to be attached. So the utilities have to incent people financially to stay attached so that they could play the utility market by selling and buying in a beneficial way to them. If they don't, over time, I think more and more people are just going to island.
Yeah. And when you see that they're setting up the rate structures, which I think is ill-advised, where you have a baseline charge, no matter what kind of electricity you use, from a perspective of a solar customer, every time they raise up that baseline, that's giving more and more incentive for that customer to just disconnect.
Yeah, I think it's a interesting balancing act. When I was there, I used to talk about this balancing act. You want to raise it so that you can collect some money to run your system because you still have to pay for the wires. But on the other hand, if you charge too much, you're incenting people to cut the cord.
Yeah, and that was another thing I never understood, because most of the white papers I saw said that the solar electric customer was a benefit to the other customers in the system and to the utility company. But it's like the utility company said, oh, that's a benefit. It can help us out financially, makes us better, makes us a more stable grid, but nah, we don't want it. Because to me, when you have solar electrical customers out there, especially out at the end of some of the lines, they're stabilizing the grid. They can offer power to help add in additional electrons when they are having problems with brownouts. They reduce the need to upgrade wiring for everyone because you're having power come in from different directions. It's reducing the need for the transformers to be upgraded. It's helping transformers last for a longer period of time. So to me, these are all savings for the electric company, and yet they keep espousing this, what I consider to be not the truth, that they need to charge solar companies to pay their fair share, which isn't, it just plain isn't true.
Well, I would say a buddy of mine was the chief engineer, and he was totally legit being honest with me when he explained that a lot of the things you said can be true if it can be controlled very well. And the utility system wasn't really designed for all those directions. And there are times when voltage goes up and down because of solar. And if that's at the end of a circuit, that can actually cause problems for everybody on the circuit. And so if you had energy storage to balance that and the right software, you could make it better for the grid. And I think that's the ultimate vision. But I think it's happening faster than the utility ever anticipated. While I think you could have all those benefits that you espouse, I think that that is not how the utilities truly see it or feel it. I think it makes them feel like they have to do a lot of change in order to leverage it.
You're probably correct. And once again, I'm taking it from my perspective, not from someone who's worked for the utility company like you have. But I'm glad you became a convert. You finally saw the light. You've come over to the right side.
I've always been a convert. I will tell you that, because it's a misconception, some people think everybody that works at the utility believes in everything the utility does. But that's not the case. There are tons of people at the utility that they do what the utility is asking. But sometimes that job is to be innovative. Sometimes that job is to make solar work. I was lucky enough in my career, I founded and led our smart grid organization, and our job was to figure out how to leverage the solar and leverage batteries. That was our job that we got paid for. So I didn't have to convert. I was already there. I also was in charge of the electric vehicle team to promote electric vehicles, and we really did. We worked super hard bringing in more electric vehicles. One thing we did with solar, just to balance out the conversation a little, is the inspection process used to be somebody from SDG&E used to have to come and look at the installation, and we changed it so you could take a picture and send it in. And sometimes it was less than a day to get that approval from SDG&E. Just as an example, there were things the team tried to do to make it better. But you're right. Generally, what drives the utility is making money. That's what the CEO gets paid for. That's what the shareholders want. So most of the behavior is in that direction. But I didn't have to convert. I was always there.
Okay. And I'm sorry if I sound like... Because I know there's some wonderful people there that make dealing with SDG&E very enjoyable process. Ken Parks, so many of the people there that are just really doing the right things. And we really do appreciate that, because we compare that to places like Southern California Edison, where it's not nearly as proactive or as friendly of an environment. So I really shouldn't be that negative about it. But I will tell you one little story. I remember long ago when I used to do only battery-based systems because we were not allowed to hook into the utility company. And then all of a sudden, the state passed a law called net metering. We were now allowed to hook up to the utility company. At that time, I was installing a solar system out in Warner Springs, Mr. Ashmeyer's house. And I had put in a battery-based solar electrical system that was designed and met the requirements to be interconnected with the utility company. I contacted SDG&E and said, hey, we've installed a solar electrical system at this customer's house. We would like to interconnect with you. And they said something to the extent, oh, you can't do that, or we don't know how to do that. And I said, well, there's this new law that passed, so could you please look into this new law and see if, what process you want me to go through to interconnect? And they came back a couple days later and said, our lawyers have looked into that law, and no, you cannot interconnect.
Wow.
And so I was kind of baffled. So I contacted a friend of mine named Sandy Miller, who at that time was working for the CEC, California Energy Commission, I think is what it stood for.
It does, it does.
And Mr. Sandy had a friend who worked on the PUC. And magically, one day later, I get some calls and emails saying, Scott, we would love to have you interconnect with SDG&E. So on the list of residential solar electrical installations with SDG&E, number one is Mr. Manny Ashmeyer. So I don't think I did the first solar systems because I think there was some commercial done before that. But my understanding is that I was the first one to do a solar electrical system residential that connected up to SDG&E. And actually, there were so many wonderful people I had to deal with after that point that were such wonderful and professional people that I really enjoy working with. What frustrates me, though, is sometimes certain laws or requirements from the top come down that have no logical sense or things rooted in common sense or something that I can understand or that they can explain to me why. For example, right now, SDG&E has a rule that you can't have more than either 10 kW of batteries or 10 kW worth of inverters hooked up into the utility company. They just don't allow it. And my question has been, why? There's no logical reason. There's no reason not to that they can espouse or tell me. So I have an understanding of it. It's just no. And okay. So hopefully that will change someday in the future.
You send me that question. I'll see if I can get this guy to answer it that I know that's still there.
Okay. That'd be fantastic.
I'll try. No guarantee. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to do it as you know because you listened and you joke with me that you don't like it. But I'm going to wrap it up with a rap. So you want to build some customer wealth and it also helps with everybody's health. You feel that politicians and utilities give you a test, but you still do what you think is best. One thing that I really adore is that you see that solar can stop war. You want people to scream and holler and yell, hey, I saved a dollar. Now listen, this isn't just a bit of flattery. I'm super impressed that you installed early the battery. I want to give you so many cheers. You've been doing this for 31 years. I know you don't like the political tricks, but hey, that's politics. From SDG, you had to inquire, but you ultimately did the first customer, Manny Ashmeyer.
That is pretty good. I like the rap. I am impressed.
Scott has been installing solar for over 30 years and continues to share the benefits of powering the world with solar electricity with everyone he meets. And in the summer of 2014, New Day Solar installed My System, which to date has generated over 65 megawatt hours of solar energy. Thank you, Scott, Mary, and Wendy. If you have comments or questions about the podcast, visit my website at www.crevatenergyinnovations.com and drop me an email. I would love to hear from you. And if you're enjoying the Climate Champions podcast series, please subscribe, rate it 5 stars if you're an Apple user, and tell your climate-concerned friends about it. And if you're in San Diego and want to trade your concern about climate change for a few hours of some great laughs, most weekends I'm doing improv comedy at either the Old Town Improv Company or Finest City Improv or both. Contact me to confirm specific show dates. And if you want to release from some of life's stresses or to improve your speaking skills, consider taking a class at an improv workshop in your town. Scott believes that we as human beings rely too greatly on fossil fuels. We have spent a majority of the last century proving that even war is worth the cost of a barrel of oil. As such, his goal is a simple one. He wants to enlighten those around him as to the benefits of powering a world with solar electricity. Scott is focused on helping the environment, reducing our addiction to fossil fuels, educating the next generation of solar installers, saving his customers, like me, some money, and helping to mitigate climate change.